Okay, great. Well, we're going to talk today about looking forward. Before we start, let's hear news from HMTRI and Washington. Heather?
All right. Well, news from HQ is to keep an eye out. They are anticipating announcements for the fiscal year 18 environmental workforce job training grants. Could be coming as early as the first week in May. So maybe even potentially May 3rd, who knows? So keep an eye out. Those things should be coming your way soon. We also wanted to remind you about the all-grantee meeting. This is August 8th and 9th in Alexandria, Virginia. Just as a reminder, HMTRI will cover lodging, conference fees, as well as your lunch, things like that. So we do cover a good proportion of the cost. We just want to get everybody out and share some really great information.
Heather, can I interrupt for just a minute?
Oh, absolutely.
This is Bruce, by the way, Bruce Diamond. Michael, have you started recording yet?
Yes,
sir. Or did I miss that? Okay.
No.
All right. Sorry.
That's good. I've forgotten. Oh, you know, while we're on announcements, I'll put this back to Heather. Those of you who know GLO, she's doing fine in retirement. She let Heather give you the news about GLO. It's good news.
Well, I didn't have that written down, Mike, so I'm actually going to let you do it.
Okay. Well, GLO retired Christmas, and Heather took over for her, doing a great job, and everything's working well in that respect. But GLO was nominated and became emeritus at the college, at the Eastern Iowa Community College. So special distinction for doing such a good job all these years, and she's doing great. She's kind of doing some ceramic stuff, as many retirees do, and they're traveling, and I think she's still interested in the program and wishes everyone her best wishes. They have only just maybe four people a year will get the emeritus status, and it's a special selection committee, a recognition of a job well done. So, but she's fine and says hello to everyone. So I just thought I would pass that on about the good news for GLO. So we had some people join while we were talking. Do you want to announce yourselves?
Good afternoon. Matthias Bowler here with the Merrimack Valley Workforce Investment Board in Massachusetts, just about 40 miles north of Boston. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. This is Sandra Howe at Memphis Bioworks Foundation in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. Hi, this is Isaac Weber from the Springfield, Missouri Job Center.
Okay. Good. Okay, Heather, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. I was just reminding everybody about the all-grantee meeting. So if you haven't registered yet, please send it my way. You can send your contact information to HK, as in kitten, BALLOU at EICC.edu. And we'll have that in the post-session notes as well, so you'll be able to quickly see that. Also, keep an eye out on your email. Next week, you'll be getting, through the listserv, a link to take a scan. This scan will help us build a better agenda. So we actually want your input on what you would like to see at the all-grantee meeting this year. So please respond to that when you get that email next week. And we really look forward to seeing your guys' response as we continue to plan for this really great event in August.
Should be a great event. We're going to have all the regional coordinators. And, of course, anyone who is funded or selected will have a chance to talk specific and meet their regional coordinator. And those who are planning for the next RFP will have a chance to meet everyone else. And, of course, if you're a PLC member, you attend these, you're invited. And I'll put an invite attachment onto the notes, which you'll get on Friday. If for some reason you're not getting the post-session notes, Heather, do you want to repeat your email? Just send her your contact information.
Absolutely. It's HKBALLOU at EICC.edu.
Great. Today we're going to talk about looking forward, and it's an opportune time to that. A lot of things happened just today, actually. This morning, EPA announced that the assessment, the revolving loan fund, and cleanup grants were awarded. That was about $54 million of grants that go to 221 grants representing about 144 communities. And I'll put in the notes how you could access those communities. You might want to look through the chart of towns that receive funding, and you may want to click on them. And if you're an existing grantee, touch base with them, tell them what you're doing. Certainly after your announcements, you'll want to touch base with the same people. And these are the sister grants that we have, the assessment, of course, which are looking for properties to clean up, and revolving loan funds are funds that allow communities to loan money to clean up the brownfields in their community, and then the cleanup grants. And of course, the ones we're most concerned with are mostly the cleanup grants, because those are grants where they're going to be hiring people. Someone just, did someone comment or have a remark? Okay. So anyway, that the assessment and the cleanup grants are the important ones that we're watching all the time. And we always keep an eye out for what's going on with the other grantees. We call them the ARC grants, assessment, revolving loan fund, and cleanup grants. Also, I'll put in the announcements a webinar that's going to be actually the same time of our next PLC on May 9th about the Build Act. This is the act that has reauthorized brownfields. And in that act, it authorizes the cleanup of brownfield sites, and it also authorizes technical assistance to grantees to support those cleanups. Now, some interesting things happened just actually in the last hour, and Heather and I were discussing this. The omnibus bill that you're probably familiar with that passed just the last month allowed for fully funding of EPA, but there were some hitches in that. And since then, there's been some cutbacks in EPA funding, and it has some pretty profound implications for our program. They have decided temporarily, and these things always change, that in the RFP that's going to go out in November for the FY19, those of you who are waiting for your grants to be awarded are in the FY18. The FY19 grants for cleanup, for brownfields training, is they're going to skip over that year. So in other words, November, when we normally have our RFP announcements, will not occur. Now, people in EPA are very innovative and have ways of working around things. They thought that what they'll do, and this is somewhat subject to change, but instead of having the RFP go out in November, they're going to delay it about 4 months. And so they're going to put an RFP out in spring of 2019. And what that will do, they'll solicit the grants. The grants will be submitted, but they won't be awarded until the fall, after September 30th, probably in October, they'll be awarded for FY20, which means they're going to be skipping the FY19 environmental job training. But it's only going to be about a four-month delay for everyone. So in other words, federal budgets go from September 31st to September 31st. And so we're in FY18 now. In September, we'll go to FY19, and then the next September, FY20. So what this will basically mean to our grantees is that instead of submitting a grant proposal in November, this next November, it's going to be delayed till probably March or April of 2019. Then they'll be officially awarded in, say, October of 2019, and that'll be a 220. So it'll delay our program about 4 months, and it'll be interesting. We just heard about this news this morning, and it'll be interesting to see if this changes or what happens, but they're trying to accommodate everyone. Evidently, in the cuts, somehow job training got reduced to the point where they felt that they needed to skip 1 year to keep their program viable. They like to have at least $3 million for one of these grant rounds. So, and I'm going to talk about this a little today. We're going to be thinking of strategies that our people who don't have grants yet can get them, and those who are, say, in your third year might be able to work on that. And there's going to be a lot more talk. You can hear a lot more about this probably, and certainly we'll be discussing it at the All Grantee meeting in August, because we'll have all the administrators there, and we'll see what they have to say about that. But this is a fairly important development that's just happening. They're not going to, I don't believe they're going to cut the size of the grants. They had two options that we once talked about. One option was just give less grants. Instead of, say, giving 15 grants, you give 7 grants. That would have been one option. The other one is you just do this postponement like we talked about, and then you could have a program where you're funding 15 grants. So that's kind of what where we're at. And I think when we look at this, and this happens every once in a while, we run into situations like this, is how do you finesse your program around that? And let's talk about that in just a second. But we wanted to talk today a little bit about what's ahead, because before the next PLC on the 9th, these grants would probably be awarded, and they will be awarded somewhere around the 3rd. So we're talking about in about a week. And as soon as we hear, we'll broadcast to everyone the announcements and who got funded and who didn't. And let's just spend a second if you don't get funded, okay? If it's similar to other years, probably about 40 applicants went in, 40 to 45 applicants went in, and about 15 of those are going to be funded. Usually they try to fund about half new and half old. So there's kind of an equal shot of those who are first time. That may change depending on how many new grantees applied versus how many old ones. If there were just a few new ones, that may skew this. So the problem is not everyone will get funded. So it depends what year you are in your grant, that how this is going to impact you. Hopefully everyone that's been doing a good job on their grant writing is going to get re-upped. And I would say can't make a judgment on who has a better chance. It's a pretty much a level field when it comes to evaluation of these. They base it on your past performance and, of course, how your grant was written. But for those of you who are not funded, we would suggest several things. And last PLC we had on Santa Fe Community College. Janet, are you online? No. Okay. Janet's program was one that was funded in 2011, and then they had to go into limbo for a little while, and they were just refunded last year. They did a good job in going into that dormant period. The same thing has happened to several other grants. At St. Nick's Parish had a similar situation where they went for a while, then they didn't get re-upped, and then they had to wait a little while, and they had to try to keep their program together when they could reapply. And it wasn't that they didn't reapply, it was just they weren't funded for a cycle or two, and they were able to get back in. My advice to those of you who are not funded, it depends what year you are in your grant. If for some reason you're not funded, I would not give up and walk away from it. I would try to preserve your program the best you can. What St. Nick's did, for example, was they were able to get some interim funding from a different agency that kept their program together. They kept their team together, basically. And that's important. You might want to approach Youth Build if you have that, or a Goodwill program, and tell them what you've been doing, and that is there a way they would be interested in partnering. It might be a community college or a WIB program that you could pair up with them. You might start looking at some Department of Labor programs or even some state programs. Often states might have some discretionary funding and tell them you want to keep the program together. You've been going and you're planning on resubmitting spring of 2019, next spring, and that you'd like to keep the program together, depending on how active it has to be. But try to find your team, try to get your partners together, you may have some carryover funds, and this is something that you all internally may want to explore as we approach August and talk to the EPA people. You may want to even talk to your regional coordinator in terms of carrying over funds, if you have anything or partial funds, no-cost carryover for the government might get you going for another cohort or keep your program intact. But I guess the moral of the story is just don't let it fall apart and don't let your partners fall. If you can, you may have to search for some additional partners. Some of our grantees are backstopped by whether it's public utilities or it might be another organization or your current organization. You might be able to keep it on a low level for perhaps another cycle or a smaller cycle, and or stretch out your cohorts when you have them and keep that program together. So these are strategies that we may need to discuss as we go forward, but I would also keep your eyes on your budget and look at this target date of spring of 2019. We also suggest you're not eligible for the previous year. If you received a grant in the previous year, you can't reapply. But if you applied and weren't selected, you can reapply. So definitely, if you're not accepted for funding this time, definitely improve your grant. Relook at your partners. You may have to establish new partnerships. Basically, the more partners you have and the more oriented they are towards community service and job training and hopefully have other grants that could work with you, the better off you're going to be. Those that are connected, for example, with perhaps Goodwill or our Youth Build Conservation Corps, they're in fairly strong positions. And one advantage of some of those organizations is, say you don't get funded for a re-up, you may be able to slide along for another year and apply and then get funded in that year. EPA always encourages everyone, just don't give up thinking that you're not going to get it the next year, because often it takes one or two tries, particularly if you're a new grantee. Even if you're not funded, I would still come to the all-grantee meeting, because the all-grantee meeting is in August, and the next RFP will be due, say, in May of 19. So it isn't really that long. So I would keep in touch. And if you're not funded, doesn't mean you can't come to the all-grantee meeting. I would definitely, if you have the funds somewhere, I would definitely come to the all-grantee meeting, whether you're funded or not. If you're funded, they really want you there. If you're not funded, we still want you there, because we got to look forward to the next one. While we have this glitch in funding this year, the bill authorizes money for this program. So it's not as if this program is going to be wiped out. I think it's a question of more funding. We're all familiar with the budget problems they seem to be having this year. Doesn't matter, mean that won't change. I wouldn't totally rule out the fact that there might even be some other money that they may be able to find. The important thing is people in EPA are pretty much committed to this program. So I think that as long as Brownfields is around, they will have an eye on keeping this program going. So just keep that in mind. Now, if you are funded, those of you who find out you're funded, there are several things you're going to have to do. And I would touch base with the authorized person that submitted the grant. They've got their phone number and their email, and they'll be contacted first. And you need to, I would just stop by and say, if you get a notice, positive or negative, can you let us know? There have been instances that EPA has shared with us where the person that was authorized was no longer in that position and their acceptance was delayed. So they actually found out from us that they were actually funded and had to track down what the heck is happening. We didn't hear anything about this. So just touch base with whoever submitted the grant and tell them you're expecting to hear it around the 3rd to the 5th, sometime or perhaps the next week. You'll get a positive or a negative. They'll let you know what the results are. Now, because you get the money doesn't mean the check's in the mail or anything like that. It is still a process you're going to have to go through. There's a mandatory training. This is the training grants. It's a grants management training for nonprofit applicants. And you may have already gone through this training. If you're doing a re-up, you've already done it, and you've got all of this in place. But this would be for someone who hasn't received a grant before. You're going to want to check with, as soon as you get the notice that you've gotten the award, you're going to get also a notice from the regional coordinator. And if you get notice from us and you haven't heard from any of those, call the regional coordinator. We have their contact information in the post-session notes. And they're going to be sending you a packet, a regional packet. Each region has their own packets, and it's going to tell you all the things that you have to do. But what you're going to, one of the things they're going to say is that what we have to do before you can start spending money is we've got to do a terms and condition. And this is basically revisiting your grant proposal. And we've got to approve, go over that makes everything make sense in your proposal, what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, and how you're going to do it, and they're going to talk about your budget. So, and then they will then approve your funding. So while you're recommended for funding, you don't have it yet. When you get this notice, you've been recommended for funding. The actual funding doesn't happen until they approve your terms and conditions, which you'll be working on that with the regional coordinator and with EPA, and they'll say everything looks in place and that's what we want to do. Just one hint that if between when you applied, which was last year, and now, you find some radical changes. There might be changes in personnel. You may have decided to do something differently that you've discovered other grantees are doing that's much better than what you're doing. You want to go to tablets or something, or you may change your courses around based on information that changed between when you submitted your grant and now. This is a good time to talk to them and say, we have decided to change some things, and in the terms and conditions, which is the official document, is they will approve it or work with you on that and say, instead of teaching OSHA 30, we want to go to OSHA 10, or we want to include OSHA 10, or we want to include, rather than doing asbestos and lead, we just want to do lead, or whatever it is. This is a great time to put down in writing what they're going to hold you to, because as you do your grant reviews and they're going to grants office is going to revisit your program, they're going to look at those terms and conditions and they're going to see that, okay, what did you sign up for? Did you do it? These are your promises. Did you do it? So this is really, this approval process is a good time to do all of that. You'll be doing the mandatory grants management. And what you'll have basically are two people at that point. You'll have one who's the project manager, which are probably most of you, and then you'll have another person in your finance office who is authorized to draw funds. And those two things will be established, who could write the checks and draw checks, and they'll go over all the financial part of that. And a lot of that's also in the grants management training, and you'll be authorized to do it. One interesting thing, and this has to be done by September 31st, because we're now in fiscal 18, and fiscal 18 goes to September 31. So they have to have this money out the door, this is EPA, by August 31st. One of the questions that a lot of people ask is, well, we want to use these funds to go to the all-grantee meeting, and that's fine, because you're authorized, if you've been approved for funding, you can back your costs up and they'll reimburse them 90 days. That's 3 months. So even in the worst case, if you weren't approved for writing checks until September 1st, you could still go to the grantee meeting under those funds and they'll reimburse you for it. So you're good 3 months in advance, behind. If you can get your approval, hopefully you'll get your approval in July, August, then you can back up 3 months from then and start charging things off 3 months before that, 90 days before that. So the sooner you get started, as soon as you get the word that you're approved for funding, I would go and try to lock down that money as fast as you can. Work with the regional coordinator, work with the grants office. The other thing is, the sooner you start that process, the more expedited your grant will go, because towards the end, things get a little tricky and they're busy and they're working under more pressure. So again, what I would suggest is try to get your terms and conditions approved as soon as you can. And that's a matter of, again, backing up. Go to your regional coordinator and say, well, we'd like to get our what we need to do, check off the boxes, which they'll give you. Let's do this as soon as possible. If you need training, go to that as soon as possible. Set up your appointments with your regional coordinator. As far as your team goes, again, what you need to do, and we'll put these in the notes, is you need to get your team together again and say, hooray, we got funded. They have a kickoff meeting, and that could be done right away as soon as you get the you could do this in May or June, and I would have your internal meeting first. And at those meetings, you want to explain what I just talked about, and you want to find out who's going to be responsible for all these deliverables. It's time to revisit your grant application, who is going to do what in this grant, what your budgets are now. Again, before you go too far with EPA, revisit your grant and see if you have to change some budgets around or if you're going to add or reduce something. So get your internal act together. Who in your organization is going to do what? How much funding is everyone going to take out of the pie? How are you going to split that up? So do that internally, and it might mean a meeting with the chancellor or the chief financial officer and the people, the project officers, and sit down and say, we've got the money. This is how much we have. I kind of explained what I just talked about. We can spend it 90 days ahead of when we actually get the authority, kind of explain to them what's going to happen and all about the all-grantee meeting. You may want to send some more people to the all-grantee meeting. Might be a fiscal person in addition, and you could do that. You could still sign up if you find out in the next couple of weeks that you've got approval. You may want to send an extra person or two to the all-grantee meeting. So those are the things you want to do internally. Then after you've done that and you've got your act together, I would do a kickoff meeting, a more public meeting, and then go out to, of course, go to your partners, go to any public announcements you made, do your press releases. Those may go out right away. Often congressmen like to get a photo op, and the newspapers like to cover it. So that could happen any time, but I would do your internal as fast as you can. Then go out to the public meeting and talk to everyone about what you're going to be doing. And again, you're going to be needing to talk to them about your schedules, when you're going to start recruiting, all of those things. That's why I say get your internal people together and revisit that grant and your deliverables and lay out a schedule of how this grant's going to flow for the next 3 years. And so you've got your act together so that when the press calls you or when people start asking you questions, you're not in, well, we're still planning. You just say, well, this is our schedule. These are our cohorts. This is what we're planning on doing, how many graduates. These are the courses we're going to be teaching. So you'll have all of that down for that public meeting. You may want to hold a public meeting at a library or at a church or wherever. If you've done public announcements or meetings in the past, you may want to do that. You may want to also go to the mayor's office if he hasn't already heard, which he probably has, and thank them for their cooperation and that you need their help as you go forward. And, of course, this is a great time to start seeking additional money and leverage partners. There's nothing like success. So we applied, we got the grant. Now we want to expand our leveraging base, and we want to expand our partner base. Are there other programs within the city that we can work with, and what can you do with us now that we've got this grant? It's interesting how the dialogue changes when you're applying and when you've secured the money. All of a sudden, you've got friends that maybe didn't talk to you before. So now you've got money on the table. You can start saying, well, how can we leverage off what the WIB's doing, or what are you doing in other employment programs in the city that we could dovetail off, and can you give us some in-kind contributions? So these are all things that are going to start happening as soon as you found out that you got the grant. Again, if you didn't get the grant, then we move on. And let's talk a second for the second and third year grants, what's going to be happening. As I said earlier, we, you know, just learned that we're not going to have this RFP coming out in November. It's going to be in May. And so it's time to get your troops together and maybe look at your budget. And you may want to see where you're standing now and where your cohorts are now. And you may want to check with your regional coordinator and saying, in light of this possibility that there will not be an RFP, and they all are, will be aware of this in November, do you think it would be wise to maybe spread out our cohorts, or in that same conversation, carry over money if you're in a third year? You, I don't know, everyone's in a different situation. Many programs have carry over money. You may want to think about how can we stretch this out 4 months to make our program viable. And so you want to, it's a good time probably after this announcement is made, is to kind of revisit your whole grant, what your deliverables were, what your schedule was, and what you're planning on doing in light of, if you were planning, if you were a second or third year grantee and you're planning on resubmitting in November, let's now think about resubmitting in May and starting your next, resubmitting in May and getting a grant in October, and then planning, you'd have a fast start, kind of like what Santa Fe did. You would, it would be, your program gets shifted 4 months. And it may not hurt grantees too, the impact may not be too bad, because often we're, in many climates, we're talking about placing people in the spring. So if you could do a fast start and start training in the winter, if you received your funds in October, you could still get going. You could perhaps get a cohort going after that and still get a spring graduation. So it's not the end of the world. It's disappointing news for us. We actually hoped we would get more funding rather than having them cut back the program. I think I would reiterate, though, that we don't expect the program to be wiped out. We expected this blip here, that it would be pushed over and that they would skip 1 year. It's the first time they've ever done that. But we've had two cases. One time they actually had additional funds and they gave out a special funding, and this is the time when they're going to skip it. So does anyone have any questions about what's going on or what's going to be happening here?
Hi, this is Amy in Tacoma. Question for you in regards to media release, assuming people are successful. With all of the protests that are going to be going on or about the second and third, what would you recommend as far as initial media release goes? Because the airwaves are going to be sucked up with that right then,
right,
if they do announce on the third.
Right. Hopefully, they're telling us about the third, but they usually, it could be, it'll be the week after that.
Okay.
It's interesting because sometimes they often release the congressman first, and they like the congressman to get a photo op and all of this. So there's a possibility that they'll put out a press release out of the congressman's office. That's one possibility. Some places that doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen, I would probably wait and get your team together and have your own internal discussion and then write a nice press release and let that, like you say, let things pass a little bit. I think the main thing is get your act together. particularly what you're going to be teaching, how many people you're going to be teaching, when your cohorts are going to be, that's probably the thing you want to do first. And of course, keep in mind, this is you're recommended for funding. You don't actually get the funding until your work plan has been approved. And that'll happen, you know, a month or so after that. So you don't want to start spending money right away until as you go down this path and you become more familiar with it's approved, but it hasn't been released until the grants office signs off on it. So you want to be a little bit restrained. Another thing, this is a great time to talk to your contractors. Those of you who, there are two things that happen. Some of you have partnerships, some of you are doing it internally, and many grantees will contract out. And what we had recommended last year is send out your RFPs early for your contractors with the contingency that if you get funded and if you meet our schedule. Some people have done that and some haven't. Many now have to formalize some kind of contract. I would go out, you can now, once you find out you've been funded, you could contact your contractor or potential. You've got to go out for three bids if it's a contractor. So you can go out to three people or start searching for the three people or whoever you're going to pay. If you're paying them out of great funds, it's important. If you're paying them out of grant funds, you have to go through this process where we've been approved. We are now finalizing our spending. Please submit a revised RFP application based on these training dates and these courses. And another thing is some of you who are involved with cities, that has to go through city council for approval also. So you want to start early on those things. And always just put the contingency that all of this is contingent on final approval by EPA of your work plan. And then you're going to be way ahead of the game. If you've got your contractors lined up, you've done the three approvals. If you had to go through city council, a lot of people find out at the last minute, oh, you mean I have to go through city council or I have to go through a purchasing office or I have to go through my own organization. I'm part of a bigger organization. They have to approve it. That's something that's important to note. One other sideline is if this announcement comes out, you've got to get your own organization to accept it. And there have been cases where that's been questionable whether the organization or the city wanted to accept it. There was a change of administrations, and all of a sudden, well, what do you mean we're going to be doing job training? I don't know that we want to be doing this. In that package, they're going to have to sign off that, yes, we're accepting this approval for funding. So that's something to keep in your back of your mind, just to make sure that your mayor, if it has to go through mayor's office or city council's office, that they're going to sign off on it. So those are all these little things that can torpedo you if you're not careful. Smaller your organization, less of that's an issue. But when you get into WIBs, city council, city, particularly city contracts and bigger city contracts, that's when these things can pop up on you. Who do we have to go to sign this off that we can go to the next step, you know? And always, whenever you go out for a contract, also get the three bidders and make sure that it's contingent on that these work plans may change. It's contingent on your getting approval and your course schedule. So that'll get you where you want to be.
Great.
Anything else? Any questions? Well, I wish you all luck next week. And whatever the outcome, this program has been around for a long time. We're talking about almost 20 years. And it's in the bill. It's authorized. So while we face this glitch on this RFP coming out in November, I think we can move forward and just keep on rolling and see what happens. So good luck, everybody, and we'll be talking again on May 9th. By that time, I think they should be approved. So
Thank
we'll
you.
Go from there. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Talk to you
Thanks.
Soon.
Bye.